Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Happy Monday to you.
Oh man, happy Monday to you. Was it an okay Monday?
It's December.
So that's good or not good?
No, it's good.
Okay.
I think three weeks is kind of a long time once it gets around.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Between breaks, I'm gonna pull over safety first.
Oh yeah. Well, or I can call back at any time.
No. I just happened to be on the road.
Okay.
Before we get too far, I was gonna ask you: are you and Scott gonna be able to clean my voice up and make your sound all muffled since I'm interviewing you?
I don't know. We'll see. We will see, sir. We'll see, sir.
How do you think the chat went last night?
Oh, man. I actually... So, it's so funny that it was Facing Fears, because I told Trav, my husband, right before it started, I was like, I never know. Like, people could hate me, which is fine. I don't care. And just be like, not showing up tonight because that Aaron girl. You know? And so, even though... I was hosting a chat on how to face our fears. I was worried that nobody was going to show up. So I'm actually pretty pleased that it went as, you know, well as it did.
So the chat over fear was your fear?
A little bit. I mean, and I tweeted out in, like, answer two, like, I'm constantly worried. People are going to be like, oh, you're full of shit. I just realized it. Like, okay, I get it. You no longer have any validity, and I have no idea if your kids know anything, you know, like, I constantly do have a fear of people being like, okay, I know way more than you on that, so.
I can relate to that.
Do you? Okay, I hope that I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I'd like to come back to that idea. But of course, I would say everyone knows you, but maybe not. Tell us what your non-Oklahoma duties are.
So I am a teacher with Epic Charter School, and that pretty much, I teach pre-K through senior high, all subjects, which is daunting, but I also do it out of my home. I basically have a digital one-room schoolhouse, and there's anywhere from 7 to 22 kids in my home Monday through Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you tell us again briefly? I know you've said this before on the podcast, but just for those who haven't heard it, can you tell us a brief story about connecting with Scott and starting Oklahoma?
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of moving here. So I think we were just in a chat one night, and you know, I had done some podcasts with Josh Flores, who had interviewed me for his podcast on Your Plan, and I was like wanting to start a student podcast, but kind of had no idea what to do with it. And I had done a few ed camps about podcasting, and I had asked Wes Fryer, who's very knowledgeable and has a podcast, about podcasting. And then I just said, oh man, nobody's doing anything for Oklahoma Ed. We should just start a podcast. And Scott basically held my feet to the fire on that one and said, yep, here it is. And this is now the 42nd episode.
42nd.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, I have a confession. I hadn't heard about what was going on, but one night after a chat, I tweeted out, yeah, we should do a podcast. But unknown to me, like, you all were, like, ready to go. Like, you were already geared up. But for, like, a couple months, like, I thought it was all about my suitcase.
Oh my goodness! Are you sick? Well, it was. It totally was. It was because Aaron Baker
said... You were already, like, in production when I thought I came up with the idea.
Well, I mean, saying, great minds think alike, and it was obviously a need, and so I'm just happy that it's being filled. And we know you listen, and so I thought, you know, Scott interviewed me the last time I had moderated a chat, and I thought, you know what, let's get a fan or, you know, something like that to, I don't know, it feels weird saying fans, but I listen to podcasts and they call them fans, you know, so forgive me, I'm not real, I don't know. It's nothing to be a fan about anyway.
No, that's fine. Okay. I'm a faithful listener.
Okay, thank you.
So, facing your fears. So, I was thinking about this. There's kind of traditional topics for Ed Chats. A couple, several months ago, Kim Blodgett had a Ed Chat. And I know that you and Scott were talking about how unique it was of the topic and how it could kind of take it anywhere. So, number one, were you thinking about Kim's Ed Chat when you came up with this idea? And if not, what was your inspiration?
My inspiration was I'm getting ready to do a new little endeavor. I mean, I think all of these chats semi-feed off of each other. You know, I mean, one question could spur it. And so hers was definitely in there. And then the challenging yourself one was in there. And so I'm just like, how can I do another spin on this where we're all kind of self-reflecting, which is huge to me. I love self-reflect. I mean, I just love reflection. I think when Anne asked me, it was right around Halloween or maybe just after. So it was all just kind of, I don't know, divine, I suppose.
What I really liked about the topic was it's not like an education topic, if that makes sense. So in other words, your questions weren't limited, you know, to like a subject matter or to like discipline or something like that. You could play on this idea of fear in different areas.
Well, and so in my world, again, every subject, every grade level, it's already pretty freaking scary from time to time. And then you add in our school is a personalized education, you know, platform. And so where I have one kid doing U.S. history this way, I have a totally different, you know, kid doing totally different way of U.S. history this way. And I want to do I've got a podcast starting where I've got several kids that are doing a U.S. history podcast. But then one kid learns math better with videos and another kid learns math better just a step-by-step instruction list. And so, like, I can't limit by subject or grade level or style because I really do have to kind of have everything going. And so I want to be able to hit, I want something that administrators can answer questions on. I want something that the ELA person and the math person and, you know, the science person can answer questions on. Because we are all teachers, but we have very diverse groups of teachers within this niche. And now there's, you know, an ELA chat that happens with Okla Ed. And, you know, they're starting to diversify quite a bit. And we all still come together on that Sunday night chat. But people are starting to be like, all right, we need a little more, you know, social studies. We need a little more science. And so let's create these chats. At least with the ELA, I mean, I hope people realize that anybody can be in there answering those questions. Parents, administrators, teachers, school counselors, and students now.
Right, absolutely. What was your favorite question of the night?
My favorite question. It wasn't going to be my favorite question. I wanted just a little comic relief question. Question one was, you know, clowns and towel snaps scare me. What scares you? And some of the answers, I was like, whoa, that's a fear? Or, you know, somebody said driving on curvy highways up high. And in my mind, I had thought like Dallas, Texas, when you go from like one highway to a next. But then somebody told me today, oh, you mean like in the mountains? And I thought, oh, that's probably what they meant. You know? Anyway.
So I know you're going to, every week you spend a lot of time looking through the archives and looking back at notes in preparation for the podcast. What, just as you were watching and as you were participating and hosting, what are some answers that stood out to you?
Oh, man. There were, I think, think there are three different people. I want to say one of them's name was Parker. I definitely know Rob Miller was another one. And Brent Bushy all wanted to write a book. And I thought, oh my gosh, yes. And so I had, you know, I've kind of thrown the idea around about writing a book as well. And Lisa Johnson, who hosted the Cultivating Communication Chat a few weeks back, she showed me her, like, how I dissect my chapters. And I kind of just took some pictures of her style and just tried to adapt it to my own. And, like, now that I've got chapters named and, you know, it's like when you brainstorm for a 5-paragraph essay. You've got your intro and you've got these body clusters and then from that. And so I named chapters and now the ideas are flowing like crazy. And so I took all three of them. A, we just created a mini PLN. B, name your chapters and it will come. And so that was one, several tweets, you know, on the same topic that stood out, just because it's another thing that's kind of close to me right now.
That makes a lot of sense. I have a Facebook friend who, just recently, he's been blogging for about 3 years, but recently someone just took all of his blogs and made it into a book.
Oh, wow.
But we couldn't all hope for that.
Right.
That would kind of be the easy way out, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, my blog, I mean, I say it's educating me so that I can, like, tell the world, I'm still learning at this, and if I mess up, let me know. But I don't think anybody would want to post anything I said there. I almost feel like ditching the blog just because I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm definitely better at speaking. And so even though I've got these book titles, I'm thinking, gosh, is anybody even gonna think to read it? Like, who's this person, Aaron Barnes? I don't know.
But what I wanted to note, particularly about the chat, was I like the way that the questions built on each other. And like I was saying, with more of a traditional topic, it's not necessarily easy to do that. You just kind of have a series of questions about that topic. But I really like the way you had us referring back to previous questions, and especially how you had us interacting with other participants and saying, okay, who can you help with? And that was like a really good ask.
Well, I got to tell you, I stole that from Vanessa Perez, who did a chat months ago and did that. And Johnny Ashley, who is on Twitter at Johnny Curriculum, has said, gosh, I think we were at iPad Palooza. And he was like, you know, it's just weird. And everybody's like almost trying to sell themselves, or it's a sounding board now. And we used to, like, get in there, ask questions and help each other. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to see if I can't see if, you know, people can help each other tonight. So that was a kind of a callback to Vanessa and a conversation with Johnny Ashley as well.
That's very cool.
Thank you.
Just a couple more questions. What's new and popping for you in education? Like, what is just really hot? It's something that you've heard about recently. It's new to you, and it maybe is not even on the scene yet, but it's going to take hold.
I am not that far forward, okay? honestly, right now, I mean, so, and again, not far forward. I love sketchnoting and what it is, what it has been able to do for me as far as recall on whenever I'm trying to recall either a lecture or a video. I like watching TED Talks and then sketchnoting those. So that's nothing new, but I really do hope it takes hold a little bit more. And obviously podcasting, which I'm 42 weeks in, I'm almost a year in on this, but it is still something that I've got to find out more. And I've started listening to more podcasts to see how I could diversify and, you know, help this one. But also, like like with this student one that I just started last week, I hope my voice never has to come through again after that first episode. I'm hoping that the group of them take hold and it's 100% student voice, student ran. So I'm just really doing new or different takes on the same old. I don't have anything new. I've got friends that are into like the AR, VR, virtual reality type stuff and 3D worlds, and maybe someday they'll let me in on that. There's some friends that I have in other PLNs and stuff, but I'm not really a cutting edge type gal. I'm a spin-off type gal.
Well, you're ahead of me on tech, and since you mentioned an app, I gotta tell you, I can't remember what you called it, but the podcast, that spin-off podcast that you did,
yeah,
where you were interviewing tech people, it was ingenious and invaluable. It was a great resource, so you need to do that again.
Okay, I definitely will, but that again was from the Oakless Said chat that we did, and we were just taking everybody's feedback, and they were like, what if you did episodes where this, or we want more interviews, stuff like that. So I do have another one in the works. It's not tech, but I do appreciate that feedback, and we will get some more tech ones going in there. Anything in particular you want to know about?
The tech is just, it's just so hands-on, and you know, someone can just listen to that and then just hit what they need, and you know, kind of like an ed camp, you know, just take what you need and leave the rest kind of thing.
Yes.
And that's just really, really helpful. You don't have to think too hard about it either.
Yeah, well, and you find what works for you, and then you leave the rest. I mean, I've been to tons of tech things where I'm like, all right, well, that was worthless now. You know, sad I wasted my time. But, I mean, I'm really blessed in life to have the friends that I have in education, and like June Kim, Wes Fryer, Ann Beck, Vanessa Perez. These are, you know, my little edufriends, and they help me grow and challenge me as far as technology. So maybe you just join our PLN and you're going to be in there with us.
Well, you already named some rock stars there. I've got a different sort of question to finish this interview.
Okay.
Can you name some what would be some rising stars in Oakland?
Ooh. Okay. So that is, man, you put me on the spot here, but that's all right. Mrs. Waters English wants to do with her little ELA thing and breaking it out and going into alt ed, like alternative education platforms, amazing to me. I love the Invisible Young Voices. You know, I think that both of those have the opportunity to just grow like wildfires. You, Aaron, with your blogs, I mean, I don't know how many hits you get because I don't get to see your analytics, but you get some retweets, man. You've got quite a voice, and I think you are raising awareness for people that definitely are sitting there still marginalized, even in 2017, almost 2018. So you are one of those people. I think that Vanessa Perez would hate for me to say that she is a superstar, but she really, like, her PD geek, her sketch notes, everything she touches is golden. I mean, it really is. And what she's doing, you know, trying to raise awareness as well, is just truly amazing. I had a student podcast we did last school year where my student interviewed her about racism. And, you know, she talked about how for a long time she didn't know if she was allowed to have that conversation because she's not black. And I just, it was such a powerful conversation for me to listen to and be a part of. And so she truly is like somebody I really look up to, and hope that more people, you know, I wish she would blog, I wish she would podcast, and there may be something out there in the works for her, but definitely check out her PD Geek website, if nothing else, because she's super.
Sure.
Who do you think's out there?
We didn't work that out, but I really appreciate you including me in that. Incredible Hulk, both of those as well. Absolutely. And I used to teach with Mrs. Waters, where I'm at now, where I've always been. She was there in the early years. And I don't think either one of us would have imagined that we'd be connecting like this on social media.
The social media world is just crazy. Aaron, 7 years ago, wait, six, 8 years ago, I was in a school here local to me, and I don't like calling people out. You're good at it. I'm not. But I was in a school district, and I was, you know, fresh out of school, and people were like, oh my gosh, your enthusiasm is not going to last. You will not do that here. And I mean, I like to go big. I'm working on something right now where I've got people I'm hiring to be paparazzi. I've got red carpet. I've got the Tulsa Tech kids coming in to do hair and makeup for my students, and we're going to do these amazing presentations. The students are. I'm just, you know, trying to make it worth their while. But I've got a guy who's donating his limo to take the kids to the event, and I think. I hope that I don't lose my enthusiasm. I really would hate to be the teacher. I had some pretty crappy teachers. I'm a high school dropout, to be, you know, quite honest, if we're just laying it all out there. And I would hate to be the teachers that I had growing up. And so my goal is to be the teachers that I wish I had growing up.
Wow. So there you go, Opal Cid listeners, that tagline that the interviewee does every time. I'm sure it's the same for Scott Hazelwood, but that's straight from Aaron Barnes' mouth, that he lives that every single day. So we probably should end the interview with you saying that famous line.
That's how we know when to edit and when not to edit. Okay, so... Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast, and we are here with Scott Hazelwood. I am Aaron Barnes. Scott?
Yes.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is @teachfromhere. Aaron, you would be @ebarnes73. Why did you pick 73? You weren't born in that year, if memory serves correctly.
No. My initials are ELB, and EL upside down is 73.
Okay, whatever you say.
If you just rotate it 180 degrees.
You rotate it, look in a mirror, stand on your head, and arch an eyebrow.
I kid
because I love.
I know.
Hey, well, you hosted the chat.
I did host this chat. Well, I moderated the chat. Right. I threw questions out. Everybody else pretty much took it from there.
And we got to have a really fun super fan do the interview.
Yes, Aaron Baker did the interview, and
he is at Baker Left.
He was very good. It seemed like the very first question he asked was a little bit stiff, but then we just had a conversation from there, and it went really well.
That I'm pretty.
It could have been though because he was driving. He was trying to pull over, so he could have been like multitasking. Oh.
You should never interview and drive at the same time.
He pulled over. He said that in the interview. He pulled over. So we were safe interviewing.
Okay, good deal. Well, we are so thankful, Aaron, that you interviewed Aaron this week.
Mm-hmm. So facing fears in EDU,
yes.
Which is education for all of you out there who possibly stumbled into this. And I'm just kidding. Nobody's out there listening to us except for my mom and your mom
and whoever we've paid this week.
Anyway, should we dive in?
Let's do just real quick.
Yeah,
do you have any fears about education?
Yes.
Oh, do they include clowns?
Not my educational fears.
Oh, okay.
But my real fears.
You shared that towel snaps were something that you were.
Yes. Like, did you ever have, well, you are a boy.
Yeah.
So probably did plenty of towel snapping. I had a brother. I was also on the wrestling team, and towel snaps, gosh, they hurt. And just the sp- spinning of it, you know, before you...
The twirly of the towel, yeah, as it were?
I see that happen and it freaks me out. I start sweating cold in my tracks. I hate towel snaps.
The towel snap gif you shared, though, that was a pretty weak towel snap.
It was really lame, because if you search towel snaps, apparently nobody gifts them, and nobody is probably fearful of them like me. I'm the only crazy nut job. Okay. Anyway, question
I had one. I had a chuckle. Okay, so question one, clowns and towel snaps. All right, here we go.
They scare the crap out of me. What trivial thing scares you? Add a GIF if you can. And so there were plenty of GIFs, but there were GIF-less tweets out there as well. What scares you? Non-educational, what scares you?
I don't know that I've shared anything
beautiful.
In there.
It's so amazing because I don't get scared.
I'll tell you this. If I see a sharp knife out someplace, I do tend to maybe have issues controlling my urine. And I don't know what it is about a sharp knife. I think maybe in a previous life, I must have ran into one 37 times.
37
yeah, I'm telling you. And I love my wife so much, but when we were freshly married, she turned around with a butcher knife one night, you know, and did the playful like, ha ha. And I was like, okay, I get, what do you want? Like, you got me here.
That's all.
So, anyway.
Vicky Donnelly shared one that is EDU, but I can so relate to it. And she said, I always fear having poor testing grades and losing the respect of others because I would look like a bad teacher. That was my A2. I am scared all the time that people are going to be like, you're full of crap.
Yeah. Everything you're doing is dumb.
Yeah. And now you've got zero validity in my world. And I mean, I said that to Aaron too, so sorry I'm repeating myself, but...
No, that's a legit real fear, because a lot of times all this test data gets published out there with the teacher's name attached, and it's a single data point from a single day, and we have no idea the type of students or the learning environment, or did the test measure what they were working. I mean, we have no basis.
Well, and you and I are presenters. I mean, across Oklahoma, in some other states, we've presented ourselves as an expert in something, essentially, because we're in front of the classroom. And I just think, gosh, if my kids score bad this year, I've got no room to stand up at the front of the class and tell other teachers what to do.
Right.
How to innovate or whatever.
So I went with Michael Gentry. He is, Michael_Gentry. Educators who aren't at least a little scared. NPS veteran of 25 years, which would be Norman Public Schools veteran of 25 years, checking in late, wary of non-educators' agendas. I think that's terrifying to every teacher, because all these non-educators are expert educators, right?
And are we talking about legislators?
Question two. some of them may be, some of them aren't. Some of them are out there for a buck. Anyway, it's unfortunate that there are those forces. But question two, in EDU, in education, what scares you? Pick one thing you want to try but are scared. And I think, now I think really on this, I don't have too much fear in general, because I sort of made it my own personal whatever over the past 5 or 6 years to just do stuff that's scary. I mean, for Pete's sakes, I'm about to wrap up my dissertation. I mean, that's terrifying. But to get there was flip class, mastery learning, gamification, like all that stuff that nobody else was doing in my district. So there was no community around that talking about it. So my next big, I guess, edu scare one is like just tossing away grades. So how did you learn?
Hard one, because you want to do that, but are you going to have buy-in from your principal? Buy-in from your district at that point. You've got to, I mean, there's so many, and are the parents going to buy into that? That's a hard one.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, how do you, then it becomes, how do you truly measure what they're learning? Because so often, and you and I both know this because we've both done it, so often grades are just these arbitrary things. Like, you jumped through this hoop and did that thing, here's your 80. You jumped through these two hoops and you did that thing, here's your 95. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, I sent Hey, Aaron, I sent the most amazing homework sheet home with the kids, and I know they did it on their own. Their parents didn't do any of it, but...
I'm sure they didn't you know, help.
I got 100 on that project I helped Rowan with this summer. I mean, Rowan got 100.
On that project.
Yeah, I mean, so
the first time I heard of going gradeless, I'm looking at my bookshelf because I was trying to find the book, but it must be on one of my other 4 bookshelves. I'm pretty happy about all my bookshelves. But I think it's Robert Persig. I know the last name is Persig, and so yeah. You can look it up. But Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Right.
He was a college professor, and he went gradeless. And kids were, like, in the beginning, freaking out. Like, what do you mean? How do I know? And it forced them to just do better and do better and do better because they had no clue how mm-hmm. they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea. I am on board with it, but unfortunately, I don't think my district would go for it.
I taught a graduate class this summer to some master's students, and on a couple of the assignments I gave them, I didn't give them a rubric or anything. And that was really challenging for them. And a couple of them emailed me and they're like, I need a rubric, I need to see. And my response was, I really have a hard time giving you a rubric because I don't want to potentially take away an idea that you might have that I didn't think of and include that
yeah,
in the thing.
Years ago. I really did. I got rid of rubrics. So. I haven't used one since. All of our research projects have been rubric released because kids will look at it sometimes and say, okay, I want all 4s. But then sometimes kids look at it and say, what do I have to do to get a C?
Right. Just to get through it.
And so can I get a 2 in this area and 3s in these other areas and still pass?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have enough 4s that I could 1 this area and
right.
still be fine? And
right.
so I hate that mentality. We got rid of rubrics, and you have to support the students a little more. You have to give more feedback this way.
Right.
But I get way better products out of them.
Hey, I think too, to kind of, and I know that working on a dissertation is a fairly unique experience, but once I got to that stage, everything became pass-fail. So,
yeah.
You know, qualifying exams were pass-fail. And with an option to redo if there was a fail. Proposal was pass-fail with an option to revise if necessary. Dissertation will be pass-fail with an option to revise. But so there's no grade attached. But all along the way, there's people going, this is no good. This is no good. This is excellent. This is amazing. Let's work on the no goods. Let's flesh out these amazings even. I mean, so the feedback is super personal, super... super specific, and how can you not learn doing that, you know?
Exactly. Well, I want the Jennifer Lee tweet on this one, and she is Jennifer_Lee_E.
Mm-hmm.
She said, becoming a failure, not being able to provide my students with opportunities for success. And I get it. I totally get it. Keep trying new things.
Yeah, I think any teacher is going to have that innate inside their being of, holy crap, I can't do it. Like, I have failed my kids. I went with Christy Cooper. She is at ChrisCoop80. She said the OK leg scares the crap out of me. They have dug public education so far in a hole. I'm not sure we will come out of it anymore.
Okay, here's where I sit on that. It is
okay.
A crapshoot. I mean... No, not a crapshoot, because that's a game and there's chance there. It is BS, and I'm not talking big standardized. the hole that we're in. But mm-hmm. if I keep my brain on that hole, and I go there because we need to reach out to the legislators and everything, but if I keep my brain there all the time, I get so bogged down. I got to do what I got to do for the kids
right
now. And, I mean, we just got to keep looking forward, even though it sucks. I mean, there's a war going on, you know, right beside us. But we just got to keep doing for the kids and hope that it doesn't affect them as much as, I mean, it totally could.
Mm-hmm. We have to do what we can. We just have to do what we can, but we can't live in that world or we'll just be miserable.
Yeah. Well, question 3, what might be your first actionable step to overcoming this fear? I picked Jennifer Lee again because it ties to that question too. So I wanted to kind of go back to her and give her a call back here. She says, always trying to find ways to tie what I teach with how I can have it impact on their future. I also have a lot of woo rants. And so I reached out to her on the Twitter. I haven't heard back yet. I don't know what a woo rant is.
I saw that. I saw that and I wanted to know what's a woo rant also.
Okay, well, if she says anything between now and the next episode, then
we'll add it in.
Yeah. But I also went with a Brent Bushy tweet here. Sorry, picking two this week. He said, leaning into fear and being honest when I'm confused and or when I realize my error. And that is so, I mean, the reflection there, the being able to say, all right, I don't get this. Can you help me?
Right.
Because I want to be able to, but I just don't get it right now. And so I really liked that tweet.
Yeah. This is hard for me. Please help.
Yes.
Like I'm telling you. Yeah. I went with Shelby JR, Shelby Lightning Bolt. She is at Shelby JR3. And she said, suck it up, Buttercup. I mean, sometimes I just have to be scared. Remind myself, fear is a feeling just like all the others and mostly temporary.
Yes.
Yes. Fear is just pain leaving the body.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So question four, what is a go big lesson, quote unquote, capital letters, go big lesson or vision goal you have that you're afraid to try? What with it be? What with it being so big? Yeah.
Yes.
What with it being so big?
Right. So I'm with a Mrs. B tweet here. She is at Mrs. Baldwin CHS.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm shifting to novel-centered units, and I don't know if I can put them together well enough. They're grand in my head and truly cover all the standards, but I'm afraid I'm looking through it with tinted, lofty goal specs. Listen, I get it. And I don't know if you're letting the kids choose or if you're, you know, whole grouping those novels. I love the idea of whole novels. Shoot, even Jennifer Gonzalez on her Cult of Pedagogy blog, I mean, not blog, podcast last week or sometime, she was talking about killing the love of reading and that we do so much passage reading because they have to read passages on a test that we actually kill their love. And if you ask students, what are you reading these days? Very few of them actually name a book because they're reading books. I love the idea of novel-centered units. I'm doing the same thing, but I let my students self-select. And if it's messy in my world, I'm okay with that as long as they're reading and we can have conversations about it. Now, I do try to say read within this range of books so that I know that they're covering standards and I also know the content because I've read them. But I do try to let them self-select as much as possible
And
I get it. I mean, it may be tinted lofty goal specs because I wear those too, ma'am. But I guarantee you it's better than just passage reading all year long.
I think there's something to be said for trying to bring in, and I look at it too from the point of view of like my daughters, my sons, your kids, you know, when they're in kindergarten, first, second grade, they have centers of learning which focus on a specific topic or specific item or specific thing. And how much learning happens in that. So why can't we continue doing center learning in high school? It will look a little different. But I just wonder, are we missing out on something there?
Yeah.
So I went with Jim Kuhn. He is at, or June Kim. Jim Kuhn. Whoa.
That's his pen name.
Vowels. Not important. Sorry, June. And he is at MPS Technology. He said, start my doctorate. You go, guy.
Yeah.
You go. That's all I have to say about that.
Answer six tweets, which just so you know, once we get there, I did not pick one because I liked many of them. I'm pretty sure Kaz and Aaron Baker both said that they would audit a class with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love the support there. And I want in on that action. I tweeted that out earlier today. But I'll do it too. Me. Pick me.
He called me. Not long ago, asking about some information on stuff like that. So,
very exciting.
Yeah. Yep. Quite exciting.
Question five. What is really holding you back? Be honest. And so, we teachers, we lie to ourselves sometimes.
Fear. I am paralyzed by fear. That is what is holding me back.
Anyway, I went with a Mr. Alberto tweet here, and he is at Mr. Alberto underscore JH. He said, limitless paperwork, standardized testing, pressure on kids' results, money spent on curriculum, staff fears, class sizes. Shall I continue?
It's like he just hit them all. So I went with Cass Nelson. She is at Cass Nelson. She said, time. Wanting to devote as much attention to my children and their activities and time. Did I say time? One more time for good measure. Time. And I really think, especially like to take Cass, for example, you know, she's a middle school, elementary teacher in a small town. Her husband's superintendent. They've got their own kids.
Principal.
Do what?
I thought she was a principal.
She is.
You said teacher.
She's a middle
school teachers.
Sorry, she's a middle school, elementary school principal. Her husband's the super.
Gotcha.
And they have their own kids. So not only are they supporting their school in town through all the different things that their school has to offer, but they also have their kids that are involved. And so, I mean, her hashtag is the Nonstop Nelsons.
Aw,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. But on the flip side of that,
if you
want to, yeah, if you want to take on a fear and really go do something, then yeah, time is a commodity that's in very short supply.
Yeah.
So there you go. Question 6, go to Q4 answers. Find 2 that you may be willing to offer any kind of help, consultation, planning, action, whatever. Comment about your willingness. So this was hard for me to pick a single tweet out of. And at the time that Q4 was going around, I was summoned to bedtime prayers for my kids. So I reached out to, June reached out to me later. But I did find this tweet by Mr. Hartford, who is at Hartford Jimmy. He's a math teacher. And he said, to all, phase 1, invent time machine. Phase 2, ... Phase 3, profits. And I thought, okay, that's clever. I like it.
Good. There were several people out there willing to help others in mm-hmm. their endeavors. And so that's what I love about Okla Ed. If you tweet it out under the hashtag, somebody will respond.
Mm-hmm. Most generally. And especially if you have responded a time or two yourself out there.
Right. Right.
So,
well, Q7, who is your go-to person to work through your EDU fears? Why are they helpful? Scott, you were my go-to person yesterday.
Yeah, you had a pretty crazy math problem going on.
I had fifth grade math going on. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes I just think, am I teaching this the right way? Did I use the right words? Should I put it in a different, you know, frame of mind for mm-hmm. her? Should mm-hmm. I, you know? And so I recorded us working through a problem and I said, how could I have done this better? And you said, well, that was discovery. How'd she do again? And I sent you the wrong email.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. I'm going to resend the correct videos.
Okay.
Because you get to see the aha moment for her a little bit. All I had to say was, what do we like working with? And she was like, hemp. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I can do this. And she worked through the last 3 problems completely on her own. And I was so proud of her. Anyway, so I'll send that to you. But okay. You were my go-to person yesterday. And you've been my go-to person for other things. Vanessa has been my go-to person on several things. Mm-hmm. And been my go-to person on several things. And that's Vanessa Perez and Ann Beck. It kind of depends on what I need. If it's math specific, I don't know a better mathematician than Scott Hazelwood.
Well, I appreciate that.
But yeah.
Anthony's yeah. pretty good. And there's other folks that are pretty amazing.
Anthony is amazing too. But you have a little more flexibility in your time.
Yeah, he's only teaching.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, so it kind of depends, but Okla Ed is my go-to. And that's mm-hmm. kind of why I picked June Kim's tweet here. He said, hashtag Okla Ed, hashtag OK Tech Directors has been my saving grace when it comes to me to keep me from making big mistakes since coming on as the director of technology.
Right.
And those hashtags are amazing, guys. They are truly amazing. Once you figure out how to use the Twitters effectively and for your benefit, it's your PD. It can be PD.
Yeah, it can be a great source of PD. And you know what? It can be PD without you even thinking that it is such. Because you can have these conversations that just prompt you to improve your class. And if you're prompted to improve your practice and your teaching and all of that, how is that not professional development? But I know a guy working on a dissertation on that. So I went with Chong C. Lore, who is at Chong2087, and he said, Dr. Laura Searcy is my go-to person for everything. She always ends up being right about everything. I've given up trying to prove her wrong. She is a Jedi. She's definitely inspiring. Thankful! Exclamation point.
And I think he is at NSU as well.
Yes.
And in the ELA
program.
He's
where she is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've seen Miss Searcy in action, and paired with Mr. Flores, nobody needs to miss
that
session.
They're unstoppable.
Yeah.
They're unstoppable.
And I'm a math person, and they're English folks, and I can still get a crap ton from them. and I can get along with them too. Like, I've forgiven them for being English people, but
they have not forgiven you for your grammar.
Yes, they probably never will. But the teaching that they talk about, good teaching, good practice, good pedagogy cuts across all the topics. Yes, there's things I need to understand about math. Yes, social studies. Yes, whatever. But in general, there's some things that work across the board. And Searcy is on the ball with that, her and Flores both.
So. Yeah.
All right, question 8. Is it easy or hard for you to... Somebody can't type good.
Jerk.
Man. Is it easy or hard for you to spot a student who is facing a fear?
There were lots of people that tweeted, it's pretty easy. I mean, it depends on the student, but for the most part, the educators out there said it was easy.
I would like to think so, but having a son who is like he is, God bless him, he sometimes isn't always so easy to identify a struggle with.
No. Well, and William Parker says that, and he, just so we're all clear here, is at William DP. He said it depends on the student. Some mm-hmm. of them are pretty good at hiding what they're really thinking. That's why allowing time and space for reflection is important.
Yeah. Yeah. I went with Bright Star Teaches. She is at Bright Star Teach. She said, magnet, personal experience drives empathy. Caseload or not, the strugglers are where I want to be.
Aww.
I thought that was a pretty good one.
Well, last question of the night, question 9. How do you recognize and help students get over their various classroom, work, or social fears?
You just got to encourage the heck fire out of them.
Yeah.
And give them a safe place to fail. Because yeah. I think a lot of times the fear that paralyzes the student, like I know for my son, he does not want to mess something up. He doesn't want to fail at it. So what does that mean? That means if he thinks there's a possibility that he'll fail, he won't even attempt.
So okay. Do you tough? So we're talking about kids, our own personal kids now. Do you tough love your boy?
Sometimes. It just depends on the situation. Sometimes I'm like, sit your butt down, get out your dang pencil, and just... and go to, let's do this. And other times I'm like, come on, man. I'm his biggest cheer. So it just depends on.
Right. Do you know. Tough love question, student Z in your classroom?
I don't know. It just depends on the, depends on where we're at. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Some kids need tough love. Some kids just need a big old cheerleader.
Right.
And some kids need both.
I am much harder on my own children than I am on my
mm-hmm.
students.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to daily think about that.
Yeah. Well, you're the mom. I mean, that just gives you a whole different lens to look through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally. I went with a June Kim tweet here. And he says, keep reminding them, ... And he had the best gif. It was from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
And it says, we are the music makers. We are the dreamers of the dreams. And I just thought that that was really good. Because
yeah.
that, I mean... so true.
Yeah,
you can see the end goal sometimes, and you can see the success. We can picture it in our brain. And if they just got over this hump, or if they just got over this fear, then they would be there. They'd be there mm-hmm. with us. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be an imaginary success.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with my advisor on this one. I thought this was a good one too. He's Tudelani Asino. He's at Tudelani. He said, I find that the key is to let students know that failing is not always a bad thing, but you have to believe it too.
You have to believe it
too. You have to believe it too. You have to believe that failure isn't a bad thing.
That's hard.
Yeah.
We can easily preach to our students, hey, it's okay to fail. But then when our feet are held to the fire, are we still in the same mindset?
Right.
You have to believe it's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Tough.
Neither of us picked a boom sauce tweet.
And there were so many. I couldn't just grab one. It was,
I know.
That's a rarity too. There's almost always one that just like completely stands out from the rest. But this chat had so many that if you pick one, you're going to have to pick more than one.
Well, then let's just not do a boom sauce this time.
Okay. Sounds fine.
Next week.
Next week, we're in for a treat. We have none other than the Dean of the Janine Rainbow College of Education at the University of Oklahoma, Dean Byrne.
What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about professionalization of teaching.
And when are we going to do that?
We're going to do that on the Twitter. Oh, you win. In the evening, on an evening.
You're such a 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Sunday.
Every Sunday. If there's a Sunday in the week, there's an Okla Ed Chat, except for that one time. And only that one time when it was on Christmas.
I hear that they're going to do it this year, but twice.
What? Christmas is on a... Well, is it Christmas Eve on Sunday this year? That could be tricky, too.
And New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, I mean, okay, if we're honest, we should still be clear-eyed enough to still tweet at 8 p.m. I mean, we should be okay at 8.
It doesn't even start
till 9:30. If we have a 9:30 chat, it's borderline. We should all still be okay at 8.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Very nice.
Aaron, you did so good. But seriously.
You're saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma.